every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Fun living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona, on this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. It is the fourth Saturday of the month. It's 8 o'clock hour, our outdoor living hour, which means we have Farmer Greg joining us on the line today, talking all things urban farming. And I think we've got to highlight more rain this week than we got all in 2020.
There you go.
That may be a little bit of a stretch, but it sure felt like it. Man, we've gone through a long, hot, dry spell.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually only got 4.25 inches last year at the urban farm the entire year.
For anyone new or not aware, that's just over half of our expected average. We usually get about 7 inches in the Maricopa County region of Arizona. A little higher in the mountains. Tucson's a little bit higher, but it's 7 inches, and we only got four. And that was all really early in the year because we had monsoon.
Yeah, we went from March 18th to October with measurable rain. We had a monsoon in August, but there was no measurable rain from it here at the urban farm. So
I gave up washing my truck a long time ago. Living on a dirt road, it's just a very defeated task. You constantly have to be doing it. But I don't know what it is. Maybe now that I'm in a four-door truck instead of just a two-door F-150, so I don't know if there's so much more dirt to look at on a four-door versus a two-door.
Right.
But it was driving me nuts. I actually washed my truck, and the very next morning I wake up and it's raining.
Well, you know, that just goes to show you, wash your truck and it's going to rain.
That is today's Indian rain dance. Go wash your vehicle and it'll rain.
Exactly.
Well, what are we talking about today? For those of you that follow along in our home maintenance calendar that we send out free of charge, just let us know the address you'd like it sent to. You can see that in our outdoor living hour for this Saturday, we are talking fruit trees.
Favorite topic of mine. I've been planting fruit trees here in the valley since 1974. At the age of 14, I planted my first few fruit trees here. And the reason I love fruit trees is because you plant them once and you get fruit for decades.
Of all things in gardening and growing, that has been my favorite too. They require the least amount of maintenance and produce the most.
Exactly. And that's a big and. Especially with our extreme heat that we've had, you know, two summers ago, was the hottest summer on record. And then again, last summer was the hottest summer on record. And I can't tell you how many people sent me photographs saying, what's wrong with my tree? The heat is just crushing them. And over the last 20 years, I've done a lot of research and experimenting with how we can most effectively plant and grow fruit trees and have them survive this crazy weather we're having. So that's what we're talking about today, is extreme fruit tree care.
And do we need to start with what type of varieties of fruit trees grow in Arizona? Or I know we've covered that in the past. Do you want to just skip straight into your special planting secret?
All right. Let's touch on what grows real well here. And there's two different kinds of apricots, two different kinds of apples, about a dozen kinds of peaches, pomegranates, figs, several berries, a couple different mulberries. Yes, mulberries are legal to have in the Phoenix area, the Phoenix metropolitan area. You just have to do female mulberries, which makes berries. And there's two mulberries that do really well here. In fact, they're the best berries that you can grow in the desert, the Pakistani and the dwarf black mulberries. So, and then pretty much any citrus. So those are the ones that we concentrate on and really those are the ones we bring in and teach about, is those trees. And there's several different things. In the last segment, I'll touch on the three key things you need to know to make sure you're getting the right trees if you don't get the trees from our program.
And Greg, you have that complete list published on your website. I know You probably even have a special URL that people could go grab that specific list of trees that you guys sell that have proven and have track record success here in Arizona.
Absolutely. Fruittrees.org is our website. And we only bring in and talk about trees that do extremely well here.
Well, talk to me about extreme planting.
Okay. Well, first of all, there's many things that I've learned over the years. And first of all, we want to avoid a few things. And the big thing you want to avoid is killing your fruit tree. And one of the simplest ways, actually three of the simplest ways, and I have solutions for all three of these, three of the simplest ways to avoid killing your fruit trees: don't plant them in a really hot microclimate. Hot microclimates include block walls, sidewalks, and gravel. Now, if you have one of those areas, I have a solution for you. But if you just plant them with all the gravel and concrete without any preparation, the tree's not going to make it. Thing number two is planting in a lawn. Again, I have a solution for planting in a lawn, but if you just put the tree in the lawn, often what happens is the grass outcompetes the tree. And thing number three is how you water the tree. Watering it with one drip emitter right next to the trunk can assure that you're going to kill your tree. So those are the three things we want to avoid. And what I encourage people to do is what I call my 6-6 rule. In my fruit tree education, I have rules and I have guidelines. This is a rule. Rules are absolutely what you want to do. And the 6-6 rule is a 6-foot diameter basin around the tree with 6 inches of woody mulch. And now that's a minimum. Now, when I say 6 inches, I mean a true 6 inches of woody mulch. Because what happens, that woody mulch starts breaking down fairly quickly and it makes really healthy soil. It acts as a sponge, holds on to water. It nurtures the life in the soil. So by adding your 6-6 basin around your tree, you are giving that tree a huge limb up. And so that's the first thing you need to know. If you're planting in gravel, rake back the gravel 6 or 8 feet and plant the tree on a mound in the middle. Or if you're planting in the lawn, what I suggest that you do is you cut out a disc that is 6 inches deep and 6 foot diameter. And you can let the grass grow back in subsequent years. But what we need to do is we need to get that tree established before the grass takes over. So by putting the basin in place, the 6-6 basin in place, that's going to give your tree a huge, huge limb up. And then when it comes to actually planting the tree, we're suggesting that people dig a hole 2-foot by 2-foot square. Go with a square hole. You can come into some of my classes and I talk about why that's the case, but you want to go with 2-foot by 2-foot square on the hole and 1 foot deep to plant your tree. And then this is really important. You want to stick a hose in the hole and fill it with water and see how long it takes for the hole to drain. This is really important because if you're in a caliche area and you fill that hole and 24 hours later, it's still full of water, you're going to kill your trees within a couple of months. So make sure that you do that. We call that a perk test. It's a percolation test that gets the, lets you make sure that your soil is draining. So you have your basin built, you have your tree hole dug. You want to take 40% of the dirt, the native soil, out of the hole, put it in a wheelbarrow, add 60% some kind of planting mix. Tanks does a, down in Tucson, does a really great mix called Farmer Greg's Planting Mix, and specifically for planting your fruit trees. So you can get that. And that's available at some of the True Values here in town and through us. And so you're mixing the 40% native soil, the 60% planting mix. You mix it up, you add mycorrhiza, azomite, and worm castings. And we have those for sale on our website and at our nursery. These are nutrients and life that goes in the soil. The worm castings is really cool because you're mixing up the worm castings in there. And guess what, Romy? Guess what's in those worm castings?
Worm poop.
Well, there is worm poop, but there's also worm eggs. So by adding those worm castings in the hole, you're adding actual life in the form of baby worms that show up and start doing the work. The most important thing that we can be doing right now to grow healthy food is grow healthy soil. I get this all the time. People say, God, Greg, your fruit is so tasty. It's because of the soil underneath the tree. The healthier the soil, the tastier the plants are going to be.
And Greg, we talked about this in a previous broadcast, and somebody texted and said, so I planted my trees like 3 years ago. Now what?
Mm-hmm. You put your 6-6 basin around the tree, or 6-8 basin around the tree. You make your basin underneath the tree. You add a planting kit, which is the azomite, mycorrhiza, and worm castings underneath. You spread it widely under there. Add a couple of bags of planting mix on top. So you have your worm castings, you have your azomite, which is a vitamin pill for the tree, and you have your mycorrhiza, which is the life. You put some local planting mix on top and cover that with worm castings. And that's just about as good. So if you've already got your trees planted, you can still put the basin in place, and that will invigorate the tree more than you will ever imagine.
Just make sure you don't get any soil up against the trunk of the tree. You want it off the trunk, leave that where it is. All this stuff goes around underneath the drip edge and to the edge of, you know, wherever the tree line is.
Exactly. And so quickly, the not up against the trunk, a simple fix, just take some bricks and put them around the trunk so that the woody mulch and the soil isn't up against the trunk.
There you go.
It's that simple.
More with Farmer Greg on Extreme Fruit Trees here at Rosie on the House right after this.